Since I'm looking at a partial screen, I will call the roll. Alderman Frieders. Do I hear a...
Let me get rid of that, Sieber. There we go.
He's there. Alderman Transier, I can see him.
Here.
Alderman Milshewski, I can see.
I'm here.
Alderman. And is Bart there someplace?
Yes, he's going to be
there. There he is. And I do not see anything. Oh, there he is. He's waving.
Yeah, I'm in and out.
And I don't know. Is Katie in there someplace?
I'm not sure.
I do not hear so.
That
still
doesn't
not
look like Katie.
So we have Chief Jensen.
Yes.
Alderman Tarullis. And we have a quorum and we have a meeting. Do we have any citizen comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item. Minutes for correction and approval, July 2nd, 2020. Comments, corrections.
Looks good.
Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item. New business, PS 2020-20, monthly report. Review for June and July 2020.
All right. So I'm going to go over this very quickly only because later on in the PS 2020 goal updates, we're really going to break down what our goals are, which covers a lot of the crime data in here. Looking at the month of June, the overtime hours worked, of the total overtime hours for that month of June, 130.25. You have 34.5 that are high to CPAT, high to CIT, so those are reimbursable overtime. Then you have the ILEAS deployments, which is the civil unrest that occurred in Aurora and Naperville, where we sent people to. And then we have one of the larger cases, and I'm losing track of what that case was for investigations for 16 hours that month. Yeah. Then going into the community policing initiatives, there's some nice photos of guys and gals getting out of their cars and talking to people. The high school graduation, we were involved in the high school graduation with our SRO being heavily involved in the security and the traffic plans and things like that. Cutting over to the crashes, I'm going to talk more about that when we get to the goal updates. As far as the a couple of real quick things on traffic, though, you'll see our directed patrol areas, Route 34 and Route 47. You're seeing a lot of action on those roads.
Yes, I noticed that.
And then one thing I will say is, you know, when you get to the traffic enforcement at the bottom of that section and it talks about the citations, roughly we write about 20% citations, 80% written warnings and about 20% citations. And that's just covering those citations, which are speeding, insurance, seatbelt, and any other moving violations. And then you have your written warnings on the other side, which are roughly 22% for June of 2020, just for that month. So, Detective Squad, we did have our longtime missing juvenile return. She was up in Chicago. We did find her, and we did bring her back home. And thank God she's staying at home. Hopefully, you know, she's got some good help. I think she's a very nice girl. So I'm very glad she's home. We'll talk about the crime reports when we get to the goal updates because there's quite a bit of information. And our crisis intervention calls, we had 5 for the month of June. When we get to the month of July, you're going to see, I think we had 17. So the month of July was a rough crisis intervention
I noticed that.
Call. And then our total calls for service for the month of June, if you add up all the months, we were about 5,195. We're down about 586 from the same time the previous. The reason for that downturn, I think a lot of it's COVID related. But, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. Sometimes you have, as you can see, you've got some busy months and you have some not so busy months.
Yeah.
So that's the month of June. The month of July, going through that real quick, the overtime hours, 54.5 and about 24 plus 9, so about 33 hours of that is reimbursable overtime with, you know, CIT and HIDA. One of the ones of special note is our special event for 4th of July. We only had 4 hours of overtime on that, which is pretty nice. I can't say when you do the parades, Tim and his clan did a great job, you know, because there are certain things we just had to do. But when I look at the overall numbers, I like the 4 hours as compared to what it would normally have cost. So that's the only plus side, I think. Yeah. And then you've got the community policing initiatives. There's just a ton of things going on during the month of July. Have that. We talked about the Kendall County Respect for Law. I know that was something that we already talked about at the last board meeting, so I'll skip over those. There's some good write-ups as to what occurred. Our training hours for that month for the month of July was 367.5 hours of training. Our crashes are up a little bit from June, from 26 to 32. Again, we'll talk about the crashes and the crime a little later on. If you go to right above the page in July, right above where it says Detective Squad, you have Directed Patrol detailed data, and it talks about, you know, how many hours we've spent in certain areas. And Joel, I know one of the things you had talked about was the curve at Cannonball. I'm not sure where we're at with Eric and his staff getting the detail and the data. Apparently there was some issues with the signs being there. So I'm not sure if that issue's been worked out. I know Eric and I talk quite often, and I know last time we've talked, it was probably mid last week, he was still working on that. I do know from the data that we've seen so far, we're not getting huge speed numbers on that road. So, which is good. And I'm on that road 4 times a day. So not to say we don't have our occasional, but just more to give you a heads up on that. Eric and I are still talking. Hopefully he can try to work some of that out. So as far as crisis intervention calls, you see that we had 19 during the month of July and June. It's a big jump. Why that jump is, I wish I could tell you. So it's been a rough start. We had a suicide yesterday, where a young man had hung himself, and it's starting out to be a very rough month.
Wow.
We're trying to work with the family, giving them as much support as we can. And then our calls for service, you see that on there. It should be 6,411 through the month of July, as compared to 6,915 that same time previous year. So that's all I have for the month.
I would just say congratulations on the community policing initiatives. I think that's a really important thing to, you know, try and maintain a good relationship with the community. The more you're out there and
absolutely
participating, I think it can only be good.
I agree. It's been well received so far. So,
moving on to the next item, PS 2020-21, adjudication reports for July and August 2020.
Going through, you're seeing, I'm not sure, I guess over the years, you guys would probably be able to, Jackie and Joel and obviously Seaver, probably be able to tell me a lot more. You know, you look at some of them, we only have 2 people that are, you know, that have hearings, you know, at least the first 2 hearings, and then you've got 5, and then we jump to 3, so there's really not a lot of hearings going on. A lot of them are around admin tows, obviously because of the cost of what an admin tow is. So for the first, I think the first 3 hearing dates, it was all admin tows, and then there's some weed violations in there. I think we had one littering in there and one fireworks. I'm sorry, Joel? Which one was that, Joel?
Page 58.
Joel, I am not seeing that one. I have the 824. I have impounded vehicles for both of them.
I saw it too. It's on there. There was a finding of not liable. So whatever it was, I don't know if they came in compliance or if they had a hearing.
So let me, Joel, can you send me an email or a quick text?
Second from the last page of the report.
Yeah, it's
got to
be the
one. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they were watering new grass or something.
Yeah, October 5th is the date.
Oh, October 5th.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a great question, and I do not have an answer for that, but I can find an answer out for you.
Yeah, it's from docket information 824.
Yeah, just confusing.
That's the date. Yeah. All right. I will try to get you an update on that to see if I can get you an answer as to what that one was all about.
Any other questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next one. PS 2020-22, goal updates.
So yeah, we wanted to just talk about our goals, yeah, where we're at this year as far as the department goals are. Our goal number one and goal number two really focus. Goal number one's more on the reduction of personal injury and property damage crashes. And then goal number two is part one and part two crimes. And goal number three focuses on the social media and more of the communication with the public, along with the research of goal number four, the research of a crisis intervention team. So just talking very quickly on goal number one. As of the first 6 months of this year, we have had 16 personal injury crashes. We're projected to be 32 if you just double the numbers. Our target is 35 through the year. So obviously we wanted to be down 3% in personal injury crashes, down 3%. Our target is 35 crashes for the year. Obviously we hope it's a lot less. So we're on target for that. Obviously there's some things we have control on that, some things we don't. Our total 6 month crashes for property damage is 160. Our projected total is 320, again, if you just double, and our target is 590. Yeah. So obviously last year, I think part of that, you know, contributes towards the construction that we've had, yes, on 34, 47. You know, we also didn't have too bad of a winter when it comes to driving, and frankly, at the beginning of this year, not a lot of people were driving during March and April. So we're projected to do pretty well there. Just some interesting, you know, personal injury crash stats. Of the 16 PI crashes, 56% were on Route 34 and 47. So 56% were on two roadways. In 2019, 63% of the PI crashes were on the two major highways. So obviously our major highways are, you know, a problem. When you talk 16 PI crashes, three were on snow and ice covered roadways as compared to four in last year with the 36. The funny thing is when you talk personal injury crashes, there's boxes that the officers can check. And the boxes go possible injury, they go suspected minor injury, or suspected serious injury. So somebody could get rear-ended, they barely got tapped, but they said their neck hurts. We count that as a personal injury crash. So when you talk 2020 of the 16 PI crashes, 9 of them involved possible injury, which would be minor. 7 involved suspected minor injury, and there were no suspected serious injuries. As compared to 3 last year, serious injury, which is a good thing. However, when you talk, we've had 2 fatal crashes this year. One was a gentleman walking on the highway, and he was struck by a vehicle in the early morning hours. The other fatal crash was at 126 in the area of 71. And then let's go over to goal number 2, and I will send you guys this document that I'm looking at. We were able to finally pull some final stats, so I will send it to you in the entire board. That way you guys can see it, and if you have any questions later on, you can always ask me as well. As far as part 1 and part 2 crimes go, part 1 crimes, we have a total for our 6 month of 64 part 1 crimes. Last year, our total part 1 crimes was 174, so we're projected to be about 128, which is 46 less.
Yeah.
When we talk part 1 crimes, that's your major crimes, murder, sex crimes, robbery, aggravated battery, burglary, things like that. So we are projected to be lower. Obviously, you know, sometimes you can control things, sometimes you can't, but, you know, it's good numbers right now. When you talk part 2 crimes, we are projected to be 356 as compared to 400 that we had last year, which is a decrease of 44. Your part 2 crimes are your batteries, domestic batteries, frauds, weapons offenses, sex offender offenses. I will say this past month and starting up so far this month, domestic violence calls seem to have just shot up. And then goal number 3 focuses on our department interaction with our social media footprint. So we have 4,693 followers since as of August 31st on our Facebook page. We are looking to have brought in some of our patrol officers to start posting more and getting out more. I think it's important that they, you know, while I think it's important we post, the command staff post, but I think patrol need to take really the head lead on that.
Yeah.
So we're including them in it as well. And so we're going to be looking at, you know, maybe doing some Instagram and things like that. And as far as our crisis intervention team, this is something that, you know, we're still extremely excited about. I know Joel and I spoke several times this past year on where we're heading with CIT. And our goal was to have 19 officers CIT certified by the end of 2020. With COVID-19, they cut most of the classes. So yeah, we have some additional classes. Currently, we have 11. By the end of this year, we're looking to get a 16, possibly 17 CIT certified, which is still a phenomenal number. We have a core group of Deputy Chief Fitzemeyer, Sergeant Carlisle, Officer Hart, and Officer Mertis. They're going to kind of be running our program. Right now, they're identifying policy. CIT is very broad. It could be very broad. It's important that we identify what we believe is extremely important, mm-hmm. And the kinds of calls that we're dealing with in the city, so that our CIT efforts are going to focus on those areas. Those areas that we are really going to hone in on that we've identified so far are going to be involuntary committal type calls. There's mental health type calls, and we want to make sure that we are getting follow-up to those people. We want to make sure they're getting resources. Suicide is another area we are going to be focusing our efforts on with CIT, and it kind of goes along with our involuntary committal calls. You know, can we address issues before? If issues are happening, what kind of services can we provide them, and what type of follow-up services can we provide to them, as well as to the family? And we're also going to really focus on autism and dementia through our Citizen at Risk program. So those are the areas we're going to focus on. Right now, it's identifying what our policy is, identifying exactly how we're going to focus and hone in on things, and then it's training our staff so when we start 2021, our CIT program is ready to go and we are starting, you know, with our feet on the ground and running at that point. So that's where we're at with the goals.
Super. On to the next one, PS 2020-23, recruitment and training plan.
So this is something that we are, I got to take the mask off for this one because I'm very excited for this one. So this is something that it's exciting because I can't tell you what kind of data we've had in the past. And talking to Ray and Bear, you know, my questions to them are, how did we recruit? How did we bring people to Yorkville? For a lot of departments, not just York, but for a lot of departments, you know, they advertise in the papers, they go in the blue line, and they pretty much, people show up when they show up, and we go from there. So if you see in your packet, there is a sample, well, it's not a sample, this is our policy on recruitment and retention.
Yeah.
And it's very detailed. It focuses on what we believe as a department and where we want to go as a department and diversifying our department. It's extremely important that we have people in our organization that represent our community. And so when you look at the policy, you're going to see a lot of contact with different schools. And when you talk schools, you talk diverse schools, with the churches, not just in the Kendall County and Yorkville area, but as well as the Aurora area. And with the different organizations that are out there from around the Chicagoland area, whether it's the NAACP, the Hispanic Institute of Law Enforcement, or different places up in Chicago. So when we started our recruitment for our testing that's in September, we sent letters to every single group that is in this policy. And it was a letter basically introducing our department, talking about our city, talking about the importance of law enforcement and making changes in law enforcement, positive changes for inclusion. And it has been well received. We have 123 people signed up to take our test in September.
Wow.
I don't know where we were at before because I never had the numbers before, but I'm pretty excited about that number. I think it's fantastic. If we can get 115 to show up for the test, that's even going to be better. But part of what we're going to be doing is, as people get there and we have our orientation session, we're going to be handing out just a quick half a page informational flyer. Where did you hear about us? Did you hear about us from a school visit? Did you hear about us from the letters we sent? Did you hear about us on the blue line? And we're going to try to focus with that information and data. How many males do we have? How many females? What's the ethnicity? What's the age group? Are you from the military or not? And we're going to start trying to hone in and identifying how we can bring qualified people to our city. So that's pretty exciting. I'm very excited about the number of people coming. Hopefully they all come. Obviously they pay a fee to do it.
Yeah.
Hopefully because they paid the fee, I'm pretty confident that, you know, we'll have a very good showing that day. The last part is this page here. I think you guys have it in your packet. So this is something that I have to say I'm probably as excited about this as I am the recruitment. I had two very long conversations with, actually more than two, with different people from in the community, and Joel being one of them, about when we were having some, you know, when our entire nation was having issues with just the civil unrest and how are we dealing with things and how are we bringing our people along and how are we training our people and how are we trying to have them understand things. And it was funny because one of the people that Joel and I talked about was Keith Cross. And I don't know, Joel, if you remember that conversation. But Keith is a deputy chief at the Aurora Police Department. He lives in our city, and Keith's African-American. And I will say that I had about a 20-minute conversation on the phone with him, and I said, Keith, I said, I got to talk to you. I've got an idea, but I got to tell you, I was very nervous about talking to you about this because the issue of race is uncomfortable for people. And I said, the last thing I ever want to do is offend anybody, but I need education. And if I need education, our department needs education. And one of the things that Keith talked about, because we had Keith come out at our last department meeting, our annual meeting, which was in August, and he spent 2 hours talking, Keith and Officer Kidd from Aurora. They came out and they talked about relationships, and they talked about law enforcement, and they talked about the importance of not only developing relationships and how you do it, but why people think the way they do towards law enforcement. And I remember Keith saying, and I was concerned, because when you say that to a group of cops, they're like, well, wait a minute, I didn't have anything to do with this. Why do people not like me? And I was worried of how that was going to be presented. And Keith and Officer Kidd did such an amazing job saying to our staff here, it is not about you. It is not about you being white. It's not about you being black. It's not about you being Hispanic or brown. It is about the uniform. And until people can get past that uniform, there's going to be problems. And how we have to work together to try to get past that. It was probably the best 2 hours of training I've had. So Keith did just an absolutely amazing job. So you're going to see that that's listed on this document here. You're also going to see from the top, these are the policies that we have implemented and incorporated and trained on within our department. You talk about ethics, you talk about value and mission statements, code of conduct, internal affairs. Most of these policies, one of our goals coming up for 2021 is going to be looking at our city website, our police department tab. Most of these departments, these policies, you will see that public will have access to these policies. They need to understand what we do, why we do it, and how we do it. And these policies are that guideline that we follow. And then we're talking about employee meetings, department meetings. It's listed in the second section. And department training is the third section. Everything there that you see has been completed. Now, when I say completed, that doesn't mean that it's a one and done. This is training that we continue to follow up on annually. So we will train on use of deadly force annually. We will train on response to resistance, which is use of force, annually. We will train on bias-based policing annually. And let me back up a little bit. When it talks about policy, we are talking and we'll be reviewing our policies, these policies and specifically, every year to make sure that they are up to current law, current case law, and best practice standards in law enforcement. So there's a lot of things that we have done since August and then throughout 2020, trying to make sure that we are professionalizing what we do as an organization. And I think the only way we're going to improve in law enforcement and deal with some of the things that law enforcement in general has dealt with is by some of these things here. When you go to the second page, what you're going to find is our reporting mechanisms, our monthly and annual reports, and our incident, different things we do by incident. So we are doing bias-based policing reports on a monthly basis. We're tracking our traffic stop data. We will be able to track how many stops each person had, how many people of color they've stopped as compared in a comparison of what our city breakdown is, what our school district breakdown is. And then our supervisors get that monthly. They review that monthly. And if we find that we see somebody that's maybe stopping more, obviously we do the best we can to educate them and inform. Now, you're going to have times where, you know, I'm working night shift. A lot of times people have come in and said, they haven't here yet, but my experience has been, people will say, well, you're stopping me because I'm this color. You're stopping me because I'm this. And at nighttime, our officers can't see in cars. So, you know, there's certain things that you can see, there's certain things that you can't see, but the traffic stop data is really what we're looking for, and we're trying to not only protect the city, but protect our residents. You're going to see our response to resistance. Every single incident where we use force, and when I say force, it's where it's not just arresting somebody and handcuffing someone. Let's say I have to use a wrist lock or I have to put somebody on the ground. Every incident we have, We review that incident on four different levels. The sergeant will come in and review it, and the sergeant will go, whoever's the supervisor that night, will go and interview anybody who was involved or anybody who witnessed it, and frankly, even the person we used force on. We're interviewing them. Then it goes to the use of force instructors. They review for policy compliance and for training compliance. Then it goes to the deputy chief for review, and then it goes to me for a final review. So there's a four-step process for every use of force incident that we have, making sure that are we following what our policy says? And if we're not, we own it, we train on it, we learn from it, and we move on from it. Same thing with our vehicle and foot pursuits. We're doing the same things when we have pursuits. Now, our pursuit policy is very, very limited. You have to have a forcible felony. So when we do have somebody that is, you know, has to pursue someone, we will look at that, and it's reviewed by their sergeant, it's reviewed by the deputy chief, and it's reviewed by myself. And just like use of force, all video is reviewed if there's video. All audio is reviewed if there's audio. We will look at everything we possibly can to determine whether or not we are in compliance. Our grievance and internal affairs analysis and our YPD monthly report. Monthly report, you guys already see that. You've seen that. When I talk about grievance and internal affairs report, we will be doing an annual report for our police department that could will probably be anywhere between 15 and 30 pages long. You will have an individual report on bias-based policing. You'll have a section in there. You will have a section in there on our response to resistance. You will have a section in there about our internal affairs and our grievances that have come in. If somebody comes in and says that Jim Jensen stopped me and he was rude to me, we do what we call a complaint inquiry. We track all of those. We don't just say, go away. We look at those. We track them. We identify, do we have constant issues? Are we having current problems with maybe one particular employee for maybe whatever reason? And we're trying to get to any issue that could be an issue in the future. We're trying to get to and catch it before it becomes an issue. And then our miscellaneous training information. You're going to see the police minority relations presentation I spoke about with Keith Cross, our crisis intervention training, and our department recruitment training. That's all part of it. And then you're going to see at the bottom what we're looking to do the remainder of 2020 with the 2021 projects we have. I already spoke about our YPD annual report. That's probably going to come out in sometime in February. Obviously, we need time to gather all the data to put it together. There is a lot of information. We are going to be implementing the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police and the NAACP's 10 shared principles. We will be looking to train our entire staff on that. I already have a very nice frameable, I hesitate to say picture, but board that lists all what the 10 shared principles are. I'm going to try to get somebody from the IACP to come out and present that at a board meeting, because I think it's important that we understand that it doesn't matter what color, creed, it does not matter. You have to treat people with respect. And that's what this 10 shared principles is about. We are also enrolling, and should start in September, our Citizens Police Academy. We are looking into a high school Citizens Police Academy, where at the end of the school day, we are looking to have Officer Goldsmith develop a program specific to high school students, and working with the high school on that program. It could be an hour long, could be 2 hours long, it could be once a week, it could be twice a week. We may get nobody, we may get somebody, but we're going to try. And we're going to try to communicate with the kids and making sure that, making sure, number one, that there's understanding out there, making sure they know who we are. And number three, I want to recruit as many kids as we possibly can from our high schools to be cops in Yorkville. We're also looking at a Yorkville High School Diversity Committee. They do have different diversity committees at Yorkville High School. Tim Schimp and I have spoken on this. Officer Goldsmith has a phenomenal relationship with several students who are involved in that diversity committee, and he has spoken to one of them, and he'd like to be involved as much as they will let him in that committee, so that we have police officer representation, so to speak, so we can educate and work with the students. I mentioned earlier department website design, you know, our tab, not our, it's our specific department, not the city, but our specific tab for the department. We'll also be looking to try to do a Citizens Police Academy specific to the marketplace apartments. Use of force review board and a body camera program. And then the YPD school district parent committee. Tim and I have talked, and we would be looking to try to work together where he and I would make ourselves available to the parents of the school district to say, okay, what kind of issues do we have? What kind of issues can we work on? What do you want to know about? What information can we provide to you? What can we do better as an organization? The use of force review board, that is something that we've been looking at. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where it's going to go or how it's going to go yet, but that would be bringing in someone from the public to sit down and do quarterly reviews on our use of force incidents. The thing that I'm very happy to say is we don't have a lot of them, knock on wood. But when you can bring in someone from the public to really kind of sit back and review, I think that's a good thing. And then finally, our body camera program. Ray Michalasek is looking into grants right now for our body camera program that we would be looking to implement. I know it's one of the things that I'll be presenting to Bart for our capital budget for the purchase of body cameras. What that amount is going to be at this point, I don't know. But I think it's important, as you guys have seen, you know, when you watch the news and...
finally saw a gun tonight. It's the first time on a body camera shot that I've actually seen the gun.
Well, there's a lot of things out there, and it's important that, you know, our staff right now, they all think that they're being watched and recorded anyway. And I can tell you that when we talked about this at our annual meeting, I brought up a body camera program, and I had no pushback from our officers. Our officers are wanting this, because when people come in and complain, or when something is done, if they're doing something wrong, they're going to own it. We're already being videotaped right now. But when we're doing some things right, but it may not come across as right, that video is going to be something that's going to help us, not only as a department and maintaining reputation, but also as a city. So we will be looking to research a program. Our initial thought was to purchase 15. We're not looking to outfit every sworn. We are looking to purchase anybody who's working the street. We'll have a body camera on, and we typically have 5 on the street. We will have 5 that will be charging for the next shift, and we'll have a 5 additional ones. So if one breaks or one's down or one's not charged, we have additional ones. Or our detectives get called out to a call, they can grab one and go. So that's our projects for the rest of 20 and 21, and things that we've done so far. So
that's a lot.
It's quite a bit. We've got some really good people here. Yes, sir.
So understanding that the quote unquote civil unrest was, in my personal and quasi-professional opinion, relatively justified. What are we doing to keep the kind of current events where I think it's been like 4 or 5 weeks in a row there's been at least one person of color murdered at the hands of police? What are we doing to make sure that every police officer in Yorkville understands the severity and the complexity of each of these issues? And how are we making sure that these officers are being educated about what's going on as far as current events are concerned?
Sure.
Because one of the things I'm concerned about is that you're, not that anybody is guilty of anything that has been happening over the last 300 years. But from my perspective, if, like, you know, when I was in school for political science, unfortunately, I was in college when 9/11 happened. And it completely switched, it flipped the switch, essentially, where instead of focusing on what has always happened historically, it's now a one-to-one kind of balance where let's talk about the history so we can learn from it, mm-hmm. then let's talk about what's going on right now so we can also implement what we're learning from the history to make sure that we don't frickin' repeat ourselves.
Yes.
So part of my frustration with law enforcement in general, of course, has nothing to do with YPD because I haven't experienced anything from that, but growing up in a much different community than Yorkville, I have never been fond of having a police officer behind me, and also the fact that I grew up with a lot of gangster rap in the early 90s. So I have a preconceived notion that I'm pretty sure you can already imagine. My experience is, of course, different than yours, and everybody else's. But what I'm concerned with is that if we assume that just because Yorkville has not experienced any of the unrest that Aurora has, or has not had any police officer implicated, or no unarmed person of color has been murdered at the hands of police in the United City of Yorkville, just because those things have not happened yet, does not mean that we should take our finger off of that pulse of the current events that are happening around the country. Whether it's mental illness and somebody running down the street naked, just because they are going through a mental breakdown does not mean they need to be murdered at the hands of police. They are unarmed, right? So you're doing all these things correctly. The CIT training, focusing on mental health, you're focusing on de-escalation, you're focusing on inclusion, you're focusing on recruitment practices, you're focusing on transparency in your reporting, you're focusing on cameras, you are doing everything right. The one thing I don't see in here is a constant review of current events as they pertain to police and the politics surrounding you. Because again, from my perspective, my relationship with police officers growing up is much different than it is now. Maybe that's because I'm an esteemed member of the community, who the hell knows. But I can tell you that right now, if we do not pay attention to what is happening all around the country as it pertains to people of color and the police officers that have been murdering the ones that are unarmed, we are going to be one of those communities that's going to be shown on the television with everything that you've seen up and down. And part of my frustration with the fact that we don't have any people of color on the police force does not mean that we're doing anything wrong. There's not a lot of people of color that move here to be a police officer.
That's correct.
I told you when we talked in person, if we're going to be talking about recruitment, we are marketing Yorkville to potential citizens and potential law enforcement officers for our community. So the way that you've kind of curtailed what you've shown us this evening, based on what we talked about back in July when I was ready to frickin' riot, I appreciate the fact that you are attempting to realize that we all can use some education. I know that me, myself, personally, I'm thirsty for it. I'm trying to find out where have I gone wrong, where have I participated in unintentional bias, and how can I break down this frickin' institutional racism that seems to screw over my friends at every frickin' corner. So I understand that I am not without fault. I don't like pointing fingers. But the last thing I want to do is to forget the fact that current events are teaching us what we should know. And I think that we need to have some sort of constant oversight of what is happening around the country and have it be a topic that either you discuss internally with your officers or it's something that we bring up. All right, in the last 3 months, granted, we only have meetings quarterly. In the last 3 months, we've had 15 incidents around the country where an unarmed person of color was murdered at the hands of police. Let's talk about it.
Right.
Because if we're not talking about these things, They tend to repeat themselves. And the last thing I want to have happen is a black eye on the face of Yorkville for murdering an unarmed person of color. So if I'm a little heated, it's because the news just pisses me off. And I think you understand that.
I do.
I believe the work that you have done in the last month and a half is admirable, and I appreciate it. And I hope that you're thirsty to do more, because this is how you lead, and I appreciate it.
So thank you. And Joel, I know you're very passionate about this, and I will tell you that there is not a law enforcement officer in this building, and there's not a law enforcement officer in this county, and I would imagine there's not a law enforcement officer in this state and nation that wants to be that person on the national news. And I will tell you that myself, because I can only speak for myself, I lost sleep, continue to lose sleep about what the possibilities and what the could-bes could happen, what could be for the city of Yorkville. And that's part of the reason that we're doing things like this, part of the things that we train our staff on. I would tell you, in my career, having an African-American officer come in and talk to the department never happened. So some of the things that we're doing is to educate, is to inform, and is to make sure that we have a firm understanding. And I will tell you, I'm going to be 52. I have nowhere close to a firm understanding of what happened in the past. I believe I have a firm understanding of me, and after talking with Keith, I believe I have a firm understanding of where I stand and what I believe, and some of the things that I have identified in myself. I would say that I believe that's going on with our officers too. When you talk about individual things that are going on in the country, those are talked about. They're talked about at roll calls. They're talked about at our meetings. They're talked about within our organization. It could be just in the lunchroom, but those situations are talked about. And when you when we talked at our department meeting, one of the things I said was an incident that's happening in Minneapolis where George Floyd was murdered, nobody would have ever thought that that would have affected Yorkville, Illinois. Nobody would have ever thought that would have affected New York or LA, but it is. And we have to make sure that we are making the best decisions possible, not only for you as an individual, as an officer, but your family, this department, and this city. So those are constant discussions we have. I will tell you, we've had multiple incidences in the last 3 weeks where we have made a stop on a car, happened to be an African-American driving the car, and the first thing he does is claim, you stopped me because I'm black, you're racist, and they refuse to give driver's license. Our goal is not to pull someone out of our car, okay? But I will tell you that the officers are working and communicating. The sergeant gets there, explains things, and talks about what the, I say requirements, but talks about what the law says you should do, and that's the last thing we want to do. And we've had compliance every single time with that. So I think the discussion's been started. I think it's been going a while, but I think it's now getting much deeper. And I'm hoping that as law enforcement in general, Joe, I would love to be able to tell you that it's never going to happen again. There's bad cops out there, but there's so many good cops out there too, and none of us want that same thing. We're hurting as bad as you are and other people. So,
yeah. I want to make sure, because in my line of work in a pharmacy, part of my responsibility is looking at the IDPH and saying, all right, who in my community, in my industry, in my freaking neck of the woods has violated something? Mm-hmm. Is it something that's similar to something that I do currently that maybe I should rethink how I'm doing? So you are in a you're in a good situation because, A, it hasn't happened to you and you're on the defensive. But more importantly, B, because this is not just a topic that has existed for a while, it is now towards the top of the conversation in every daily newspaper.
Yes.
You're in a good position to see how the entire law enforcement industry, for lack of a better term, is responding to these things. And I think as a leader, with what you've already done in the last 6 to 9 weeks, I think you have an opportunity to continue that. Mm-hmm. What I'm just trying to encourage you and every other police officer in the country to do is pay attention to what's happening in the news, not in our neck of the woods, because what impacts my life every day in my professional life will impact you in your professional life if
yes.
you just pay attention to those actual lawsuits, newspaper articles, and firsthand accounts of what is actually going wrong with law enforcement when it comes to people.
So one of, I'm sorry, Joel, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that's, I'm trying to hammer home the idea that we need to have a current events, this needs to be discussed officially, documented. Say, yes, we are aware of this.
Yes.
That's how we avoid these things.
So one of the things that Keith brought up, and one of the questions I asked him was, Keith, you guys have focused under Kristen Zeman and you and your leadership, your command staff, you guys have focused so hard on building relationships in the city of Aurora, and you guys have come so far. But then after Henry Pratt and how everybody just loved Aurora PD and the officers and everything, and then of course we have this and you have the civil unrest that we had in Aurora. And the one thing he said that was, I guess, resonated with every single person in our department meeting, you can do everything correct, you can do everything right, and there's still going to be haters out there. There's still going to be people that don't believe what the goal and what the beliefs of law enforcement may be. He goes, but that number is so small as compared to the people that want it. And so one of the things we're trying with our staff here is, yeah, we have the naysayers. We have people in this town that do not like us. They don't like law enforcement. It's not us. They don't like law enforcement. By far and away, there's more people that support us that don't. And those are the ones that we need to make happy. Those are the ones we need to work with. Those are the ones we need to get involved with us so that they understand we care about them. So, anything else? Yes, sir.
I noticed in all the training that you have on this last sheet you talked about, there wasn't any
programs that help guys try and figure out, okay, this is not the time and place where we need to be fighting with this guy. And I know you're going to get people who get angry and upset with every little thing. But sometimes it's probably best just to say, you know, the guy's clearly not going to conform. He's not going to comply. He's arrested for criminal trespass to property. We already know who he is. We've got his driver's license. Give him his stuff back. Send it to the state's attorney's office. And they can file the charge and get him into court a different way. Because I think a lot of times what we see is, especially what Joel had said about men being killed by the police, they're being killed for offenses that aren't murder. They're not predatory criminal sexual assaults. George Floyd was killed because he passed a counterfeit bill. I mean, and that's a situation that absolutely cannot happen, you know? And again, I wasn't there, and I don't know everything that happened, but when someone's fighting with a police officer for something that amounts to what would be a class 4 felony, or maybe even misdemeanor, okay, guys, you know what? We'll deal with him another day. There's a different level that can be taken. And that route is, we know who he is, we know where he lives, we know what he did, file the evidence, present it to the state attorney's office, and then they can go and file the charge, send a notice to a bureau, they can get a warrant for his arrest on a different day, when
yes.
he's not as active. So I think that part of training too. And I guess it goes, you got to pick your battles. You know? I mean, if
yes.
you're chasing a guy who just beat kids in a school, you know what? Do what you need to do. But if you're chasing a guy who walked off with a six-pack of beer from a liquor store, you know, there's a time and place. And I think
yes.
that is something that absolutely has to be ingrained in not only the Yorkville Police Department, but every law enforcement agency across the country. You've got to pick the battles, and you don't want to go down and kill some guy because he, you know, he passed a counterfeit $20 bill. Because
yeah.
that's what really agitates people. So
yes.
I think any use of force by the police department is going to automatically stir up some very strong emotions. But use of force for things that are absolutely unnecessary is I think, what Joel wants to do, but I think what we all want to do.
So
if you look at the training, it's to, you know, the time and place.
Yes.
I don't think that's done enough throughout the country.
So you hit the words right on the head, and actually, Dan, I was going to say it, is we have to pick our battles. And there are certain battles you need to fight, and there are certain battles that you don't need to fight because you can fight at a later day. You can fight at a later time. So I don't disagree with that at all. And I will say that I'm thinking of a few incidences that I know we've had as a department where I think our people did the right thing. They backed off, and we get a warrant later, or they backed off, and we send a notice to appear later. You mentioned de-escalation training. So crisis intervention training, CIT, has de-escalation training in it. And then constitutional proper use of law enforcement authority talks about de-escalation. I will say it's an online, it's a CourtSmart program, and it's also mandatory training through iLetsby. I can't say it has hours of that in it, but it has some. Cultural competency has de-escalation, and procedural justice also has parts of de-escalation training in there. So while we are getting some, I will say we're not getting 8 hours of that. You're in CIT, you absolutely are. And our goal is to try to get every sworn officer, patrol officer, and supervisor on the street to get CIT certified. So, yes, ma'am.
We touched upon this the other day, and you said you're kind of looking into it, but maybe you share it with the others, of what's there to help our officers, too, with this? This is weighing on their minds, and, you know, maybe in the moment they just lose it, you know, what are we doing for their mental health?
So...
So
that is a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. Our goal as a police, there are certain things we have to do as a police department. Traffic enforcement, that's ingrained in what we do. It's traffic, it's safety of the public. Calls for service, we have to do. Crime reduction, those are things that we do. That's something we do all the time, every day, and that's part of our job and in our job assignment. Now, when you talk about officer wellness, our goal for 2021, you see this year we have four goals. our goal for 2021, we will have one. And while 2020 has been a terrible year with COVID, with civil unrest and everything going on, with things going on, I mean, you talk to any cop, that's why you have record retirements. People don't want to be the police, and cops are stressed. Our one goal for 2021 is officer mental health wellness. That's it. We are going to be coming in. We're still going to do our job like we have to do, right? But our focus is going to be on us. Somebody has a bad call. We're checking up on them. We're constantly talking with them. We're getting with their family. We're going to get them services. We're going to have a group of a wellness group that is going to focus on a variety of different things, whatever they decide to focus on. We could have somebody, we got a couple guys that work out all the time. We're going to have some guys, if somebody needs a workout program, they're going to have it made for them. Somebody needs an eating program because they want to lose some weight, they're going to have it for them. We're going to have some financial, you know, how do you prepare yourself financially for the future with your pension? We're going to prepare that for them and work with them on it. We're going to talk about stress. How do you release stress? Maybe I don't like pumping iron and working out and running. Maybe I'm just too fat and I don't want to run. How else can I do it? And that's where we're going to focus on our group working together. The other thing that I'm looking at, and there's a cost to it, and obviously it's an issue I need to bring with the union, is there are agencies and programs out there that I can tell you one department in Kendall County, one department in Will County, and one department in King County. Two departments, one in Will and one in Kendall, they have their officers go annually to 1 hour session with somebody who does nothing but deal with the mental health of first responders. And it's a mandatory thing. They have to go. And it's between that counselor and that officer. There's the department in King County that is fighting it and the union's fighting it. So obviously I need to do some things with our union here. Why they're fighting it, I'm not sure. Not my place to have an opinion on that. But we are going to be looking to try to do something like that for our staff here. Not just our sworn staff, but our record staff. I can tell you, I saw two of our records clerk in tears when everything was going on. Because they didn't know what was going to happen here. So when you break down the mental health, it's for all sworn and civilian. And that's our focus for 2021. So,
you know, like maybe it's with the health department and you have some kind of agreement with one of the counselors there, that they can just have that option to go talk to somebody and get things off of their chest. You know, a lot of people don't want to go for counseling, but maybe yes. There's a way of doing it in a productive way so people don't snap and do these things.
So part of what you're saying, Jackie, I agree with you. So when we talk about the whole wellness thing, it's not kind of a one and done thing. So it's the initial conversation. It's the initial developing relationships and rapport. And then obviously that person hopefully will have built enough rapport and trust that they're going to feel comfortable going back if they in fact want to or need to. Part of the other things that we're going to be doing and what part of the focus we're going to have, because it's not just a focus on a bad call, it's not just a focus on this happened, so we're worried about you. It's the entire, holistic approach.
Yes.
Because we're developing and everybody knows each other here, because we know our families, because we know, like, I can tell you when Bear comes in a bad mood, everybody knows he's a teddy bear, right? But when he comes in a bad mood, you can tell. And it's important that we are paying attention to our own people, to people that we work with on a daily basis, to say, you know, something's just not right. And it could be a very simple, hey, you okay? And that is going to help somebody. It could be somebody saying, you know what, I'm not okay. And so part of the whole approach that we want to take in 2021, and actually from now working into 2021, is not just a counselor, but everything that goes around it. And so it's kind of like, I guess you could kind of look at it as like a personal early warning system. Somebody who gets continually beefed, somebody who has multiple use of force incidences, somebody who has, argued and maybe been insubordinate, you look at those incidences and you say, okay, is that normally that person? And if you say it's not normally that person, then you say, okay, what's going on with this person? Are there marital problems? Are there substance abuse problems? And now you look at what's outside of work that could be causing certain things, and the behavior or what's going on outside is causing the behavior in work, so that now we can try to catch it early before someone gets hurt, before there's a bad incident, or frankly, before that person loses their job or hurts themselves. So, make sense? Absolutely. Anything else? All right.
All quiet.
Turn it back to you, Steve.
All right. Go to the next one. PS 2020-24 meeting schedule for 2021.
There you go. You want to do that, or you want me to?
I only see the one that my wife saw, and she says, that's our anniversary. But I won't be there. I'm okay.
Well, I work for you guys, so you guys tell me when you want me here. So.
Comments?
I'm good.
I'm looking at three happy faces, and looks good to us.
Okay.
You got it.
Do we need a motion to approve that?
We need a motion on this. All right. Motion to approve the schedule as proposed for 2021.
So moved.
Jackie.
I see a nod for a second, and...
Yeah,
give us a second. Trans-air
second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Awesome.
We got it. Old business. Hearing none. Additional business. Everybody wants to go home?
We are home.
Not everybody. I won't tell the story of September 2nd, 2020, and all the things that could go wrong on one's anniversary. Beginning with the flowers that didn't get delivered because they don't open until 10, so... Even though my order from 2 days earlier said deliver by such and such a time. Well, we're not open. Well, why did you accept the order? Well, we thought we could...
See,
that was the start of the day.
Thanks to you to order flowers. My husband just went out in the garden and cut them and put them in a glass
That's what I should have done. Unfortunately, all my flowers are dead. All right, well, I guess we're good to go. Meeting adjourned.